This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morris, and this week we're looking back on a pair of impressive wins for the lacrosse teams. Plus, track and field is sending three athletes to NCAAs, one of whom qualified on her last chance at Tufts. And it's time to preview the Bates softball season with head coach Kat McKay. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team won a thriller in the first round of the NCAA tournament on Friday in Scranton, Pennsylvania, defeating Southern Virginia 55-53. Sophomore Sarah Hughes scored a game-high 20 points, and junior Sophie Spolter made a spectacular layup with 10 seconds remaining to put the Bobcats ahead for good. After the win, they joined head coach Allison Montgomery in the post-game press conference.
All right, well, Allison, another thriller in the NCAA tournament for Bates. Seems to be a routine type thing, but give me your opening statement on this win and what it means to the program to be moving on in such a dramatic fashion.
Yeah, just obviously really proud of our group. I think, you know, we've been in a unique situation the last couple of weeks, right, where we haven't played a game in a couple of weeks. And so for us to just use that time to continue to build and stay together and prepare for the tournament, just really proud of our team to show up. And I mean, every game in the tournament's a battle, and obviously some ups and downs there. And so just really proud of our group for sticking together and coming out on top.
Sophie, these layups, they look really difficult, like the degree of difficulty, but you've been making them all year and you did it in the biggest moment. Take us through that play, what you saw, and how do you practice those?
Honestly, like, I just saw the clock counting down and, like, trying to get in a set, and the big girl kind of hedged, and I just kind of went and threw it up there, hope for the best. It's kind of lucky, but I'll take it.
Not lucky, Aaron.
Are you generally trying to draw a foul and hoping you also finish in the rim?
Like, a little bit. Yeah. Like, I'm a little bit of a, not flopper, but you could, I don't know.
Don't advertise that, so.
But, yeah, I guess I was trying to draw a foul, but got a bucket too.
Nice point of view from the ground as that ball goes in. I mean, what's going through your mind?
I was just kind of like, oh my God, it's March. got to get a stop, but it's not over. There's 10 and a half seconds left. So we had to get a stop, and we did.
Yeah. Sarah, I mean, what a game for you, first of all. I mean, how good did this feel? You know, kind of a, you know, a big performance that matters the most, right? What was going through your mind throughout this game? And what do you realize? Oh, I'm clicking today.
I mean, like Soph said, it's March, and like, this is like one of the best times of the year, and it makes you just like want it for like your teammates and obviously yourself and like the program as a whole. And like, I mean, if there's a day to show up, like it's during the NCAA tournament. And I just came in with like a certain mindset that like it's gonna be today, or like, yeah, I don't know. So yeah.
Allison, Sophie mentioned, obviously, you still had to get a defensive stop after she made that bucket. There was a timeout called. So what was the discussion on the sideline, how to defend the final few seconds of this game?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to comment, that is a shot that Sophie makes a lot. So I'm not, as she's downplaying it, like, that's something that she does well. We knew that was going in, Sophie. Yeah, I think obviously like a really big score. And so then like wanting to keep our team really focused, 10 and a half seconds is a lot of time. They have a lot of really dynamic shooters. They run a lot of action. That's hard to guard. We worked a lot on defending their flare screens. A lot of players who can hit those. Right. So we were just really focused on, you know, 2-point lead. Didn't want to obviously give up a three or give up an and one. So really trying to focus in that way. And I thought we did a really good job of locking in there and really making it difficult for them to get a 3-point shot off.
Yeah, Sarah, were you the ones flying at one of those possible threes there?
Yeah, yeah. I was really nervous about it. And then I jumped for one pump fake, and then I was like, uh-oh, this next one, she's going to shoot it. And then I jumped for that, too. Luckily, she got rid of the ball, and I got lucky with that. But it was also awesome.
So, I'm going to ask you about one of your teammates. Obviously, you're the starting point guard, but your backup, Lily Brown, obviously had a huge game, especially in the first half. What did that bring to the team? And, you know, she being a first year and you being a junior, what was it like to see her have that game?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like, every practice, like, she's scoring on me all the time. Like, it gets me mad, but, like, it just makes us better. And she killed it today. Like, every shot she took, I was like, that's going in. And, I mean, without her, obviously, wouldn't have had this outcome. So she was huge.
And also from a coach's perspective, how nice is that to see a first year step up when it matters the most, right?
Yeah, that's really great. That's what we talked about in the locker room. Like, there's gonna we need that, right? Like, you need that kind of depth. You need people to give you different moments. You know, and I think she really stepped up in the first half and gave us some scoring and gave us some confidence and created some things offensively when we kind of hit a little wall. So that was huge, right? And then I think down the stretch, we went back to Soph in terms of like managing that, managing sort of our possessions as our ball handler, as our veteran point guard, and obviously came up with, you know, three huge plays. Obviously finished that bucket, but she also blocked a three-point shot.
Yes.
And she also took a huge charge that was, you know, so those two defensive plays, obviously her bucket was huge, but she made three huge plays, right, after having to sort of sit for a second and you know, cheer her teammate on with a ton of enthusiasm. But you have to have that to win at this level in the NCAA tournament. So
I was going to say, Sophie, you're known for taking charges, but you're not known for blocking shots. No. You were pretty fired up after that block.
Yeah.
How big of a moment was that?
Well, in one of our previous games, like, I got a stat for a block, and we watched it. It was actually Elsa, so I was like, a little upset about that. So I was like, I'm getting one this season. Yeah, I was like, I'm getting one this season, and I did. So
is that your first one this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, technically second, but right. Actually first.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Coach, any other final thoughts you wanted to share on this victory and, you know, in terms of, like, moving on to the second round? I mean, the team, every time they made the tournament under you, they won the first round game, right?
Yeah, again, just really, really proud of our squad. I think it's incredibly difficult to win at this level. So if you can continue that tradition as a program, this is our goal every single year. We think we compete in a conference that really prepares us for that. So we talk every single day about not necessarily winning championships, but like giving yourself the chance to compete for a championship. So, you know, we want to continue that every single year. So it's really, really huge for the women on this team, the women of the future, and the program that we're representing who's been here before. So really, really proud of our group to really grit that out after being not playing a game in a couple weeks and grit that out and find a way to come out on top.
All right, Allison Montgomery, Sophie Spolter, Sarah Hughes, thanks so much for joining us here.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Although the Bobcats fell the next day by a count of 70-49 to number 3 nationally ranked Scranton in the second round, it was another successful year for Bates, with the women's basketball team finishing with a record of 17-10. The Bobcats graduate one senior, All-NESCAC guard Alexandra Long, and will return an experienced group next year. This marked the third time in the last 4 years Bates made the NCAA tournament, and also the third time in the past 4 years they'd won at least one game on the big stage. A few other winter sports are still competing, with track and field sending 3 athletes to this weekend's NCAA championships in Rochester, New York. Senior captain Truman Williams qualified in the 400 meters, junior Ross Tejeda qualified in the mile, and junior captain Carly Civarelli unleashed a personal record 20-pound weight throw of 17.42 meters at the Tufts Last Chance meet to qualify for her first NCAA championships. Well, Carly, it's the last chance meet for a reason. You had to have it. You got the PR on your second to last throw in the weight. Just take us through kind of the day, I guess, going down there to Tufts and kind of knowing you needed to put a pretty big effort in. You did.
Yeah. I was pretty nervous, but I had also at that point accepted, you know, I may make it. That's awesome. If I don't, that's also okay. I'm only a junior. But basically, some of us went the night before because we were competing early, and I was one of only 5 women that went. And it was really good to, like, still have them as a support system, even though I was the only thrower, and all the guys, too. But, yeah, I competed around 12. And, yeah, at that point, I had kind of just accepted, like, it may not happen, but I'm going to try my best. And I'm going to try my best to get a PR, whether it gets me into nationals or not. I'm going to end the season on a good note.
And it did get you into nationals, the 20th spot there. They accept 20. And so, I mean, when you unleash that throw, what's going through your mind when you hear the number?
Yeah, so I kind of knew it was definitely a PR. I didn't think it was going to be 17.4, but I knew it was going to be over 17 based on where it landed. So I kind of stayed to, like, by the circle to see, like, oh, where are they marking that? And he said 17.4, and me and Coach just looked at each other and were like, what? Oh, my gosh. And so the rest of the day, we were both kind of on edge, because if someone else PR'd at a different meet, like, that could have bumped me out.
Were you tracking, like, results from other meets then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both coaches had, like, the live results from the other meets going on, and we're constantly checking. He was like, okay, this girl just PR'd, so you're at 19. And then one other person PR'd, so it was at 20. And so we were like, okay, I think that's all the meet results. So barely made it in.
When did you realize it was official? Not until it came out, or you kind of knew before?
I had kind of known, but yeah. It wasn't like super official till it came out. But right. Once we had seen that all of the meet results were done and no one else had PR'd, I was like, okay, that means I'm in the 20th spot. And I was like, okay, like, I think I'm going.
So how excited about this opportunity? I mean, obviously, because anything can happen once you get there. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, your first trip to NCAAs here?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so excited. Definitely a little nervous, but it's really awesome. Just for the history of Bates and the throws program, I'm the first girl thrower to go in over a decade, and maybe 13 years. The last person to go, Vantiel Duncan, I believe, she's the person ahead of me on the top 10 list at number 2. And she's actually been coming to our practices to watch and help me out. And so that's been really cool. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, Teal, multi-time All-American year, class 2010, obviously a star. What have you been learning from her specifically?
Yeah, besides technical advice, like in addition to her and Coach Kalina doing that, like she's really just been teaching me self-confidence and having me like say like, I know I can throw 65 feet. I can throw 65 feet. And just kind of helping me realize like I am one of the best in the country and like going into the circle with that confidence of I can do this. I do it in practice. Like, why not at a meet? And just having another girl in like a very male dominated event is awesome.
You're chasing her, as you mentioned, on the top 10 list.
Yeah.
She's number 2, Keelan Gotsi number 1. I think Teal's at like 60 feet something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the next one, right?
That's 60 foot. Mm-hmm.
So, that's 3 more feet, but this was basically a 2-foot PR,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, and I've thrown 60 feet like a few times in practice, like always between where I like PR'd and 60 feet. So if I can do it in a meet, that would be awesome. I definitely get some competition anxiety.
And then, of course, you're not alone at Nationals. It's going to be you,
yeah,
Truman Williams, and Ross Tejeda. So how exciting is that for the Bobcats to have a contingent of 3?
Yes, it is awesome. It's really cool because we're representing different event groups.
Yeah.
We have throws, sprints, distance, which is amazing. I've gotten really close to both of them over the last year, being co-captains and just Ross being in my grade as well. It's a great crew to have going. I wouldn't rather anyone else.
Just, I mean, you mentioned, the confidence factor. It seems like you have approached the season with a lot of confidence. So how have you kind of grown that with the help of, Teal and everyone?
Yeah. Vantiel has been especially helpful, but also just my teammates in general reminding me, like, I am the best in the NESCAC. I'm one of the best in the region behind Alexis Boykin, who's the number 1 seed in the country.
I saw her numbers.
Those
are wild, yeah.
But kind of just reminding me, like, I am the best, so, like, act like it and go into the circle, like, knowing that, and just get ready to, like, slam some big throws.
So at Tufts, among your group of throwers, because you mentioned it was a smaller group than usual at a meet, what was kind of the atmosphere like? What were the other women kind of, were they nervous? Was it more relaxed? What's going on there, sort of?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. One of my teammates, Alana, she was doing jumps at that meet, and she's only a sophomore, so she was kind of like, I would love to end this on a great note, but also, like, I know that I've been doing really well, and we have outdoor, too, and so that if I don't, it's okay. Same with Mariah. She really wanted to, like, get a certain time, because it'd be, like, great to end on that note, but also knowing we have outdoor and we're only juniors and that we're just going to try the best we can.
Yeah, I was thinking about more your fellow throwers, though, from other schools.
Oh, from other schools.
Yeah, I'm just curious what the dynamic was like, because I know the throwers are always, close, regardless of what school they're from.
Yeah, usually, especially, and I definitely learned this from the guys, James, Jacob, and Liam, that, like, the throwers are definitely a little bit closer with each other than other event groups. And so I didn't know too many of them. There was one girl from Brandeis that recognized me from last year, and she was like, hey, I'm so excited to see you throw. Like, I've been keeping track of your marks, and, like, I'm just so excited. And she was super awesome, super supportive. Same with this other girl I compete against from Wheaton and all the Tufts girls. Some of them even DM'd me on Instagram and were like, congrats, like, that you made it. Like, that's awesome. And, yeah, we were all just hyping each other up, and it was just a really good environment to be around them, not just like, especially because it's one of those meets where we're not really competing for places, just kind of to get PRs for ourselves. And so everyone was just really happy for me and happy for each other.
Did you kind of feel it building up your first like 4 throws, or did the 5th one kind of like come out of nowhere almost?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
The one before that had definitely felt better. I was trying to improve one of the technical things I had been working on, and that had felt better. And I was like, okay, that was good, but now I need to go faster. It's feeling a little slow. Like, I need to get some oomph in there and, like, get a little faster. And so that fifth row, I was able to do that, and I was like, okay, like, that felt good.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to mention about either the Tufts meet, the season as a whole, you know, being one of the captains or NCAAs coming up, you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
I'm really excited. I think I'm super excited to see Truman and Ross run. They have both been working incredibly hard. And, yeah, it'll be a really awesome trip.
Carly, congratulations on qualifying for NCAAs. You compete, I believe, Friday at, like, 3:30, if
yes,
I'm not
yes,
mistaken.
Yes, Friday at 3:30, and Truman is at 3, Ross is at 2:30, so we're right back-to-back with each other.
All right, sounds good, and good luck at NCAAs. I really appreciate the time, and congrats again.
Yeah, thank you.
On Saturday, the lacrosse teams flipped the script on Williams. Last year, the Bates men's lacrosse team lost a heartbreaker by a score of 15-14 to the Eves. This year, Bates won an 11-10 overtime thriller. And first year, Xander Frey led the way, scoring 3 goals and dishing out 3 assists. His third goal of the game was the game winner in overtime as the Bobcats moved to 4-0 and 2-0 in NESCAC play. Frey celebrated by doing a standing backflip before he was swarmed by his Bates teammates. And he is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Xander, I mean, before we ask about anything else, this backflip you pulled off, were you planning this, or was this, like, spur of the moment, like, I'm so hyped, I gotta do this?
So I was thinking about it a little bit ahead of time in the huddle, because I knew, like, once we went man up, they were leaving us pretty open the entire game, and so I knew there was a chance that if I had one, might as well let it fly. I didn't actually think I would do it, but, you know, heat of the moment, I just sort of went back to what I was thinking.
Did your teammates know you had that in you? To do a backflip?
Yeah, I brought it out at a tournament over the summer. It's me and Jack Goldbach. He can hit one too. So him and I, we can throw it out there if we need to.
How do you learn to do that? I mean, I feel like it's something you have to practice a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was on the beach this summer with a bunch of my friends, and one of them knew how to do it. And he just taught me right there, because I always wanted to when I was younger and sort of forgot about it. But then got back, I was on the beach. You know, it's sand. It doesn't hurt to land, so might as well try it out.
Yeah, good place to practice, but imagine if you hadn't landed. It'd be kind of embarrassing.
You know, that thought wasn't even in my head. I just had to go do it.
So your teammates, obviously, that celebration, what was that moment like for you?
I mean, it was incredible, but mostly just because of sort of what we had gone through to get in that moment. It was, you know, long bus ride down, got in pretty late. Started off not playing our best lacrosse, but made some great halftime adjustments. Defense came up huge, got us a stop in overtime. Miles got us the ball. Ben Miller, great ground ball to, and then drew the penalty to get us in that situation. So it was really just a special moment, because, you know, as a freshman, I haven't really been through, what the rest of the team has been through within our past 2 years, within Coach Nino's, first stint with the team. But it's awesome just see it all pay off and be a part of it.
Yeah, because I'm sure you're well aware of how close the game was last year, right? Even though you weren't on the team last year. So what did it mean to see your, you know, older teammates celebrate like this and feel that satisfaction, right?
I mean, yeah, it was just an amazing moment. Not much can compare to it. It's just pure happiness going out there, you know, running around. Everyone cried. Me, everyone going to crowd. Toland, he had an amazing game. I think like 18 saves. Mm-hmm. So just that energy is, you can't get anywhere else.
You mentioned, you know, some spots were opening up. You had, I mean, this was a breakout game for you. 3 goals, 3 assists. I mean, what were you seeing out there throughout the entire contest?
The way that Williams plays defense is a little different than we do. They try and stick to their matchups a lot harder. So we knew that if we could just beat our guys one-on-one, we would get spots or get shots. And, you know, we trust our athletes. We trust our ability to do that. So a lot of it, like, I can credit my dad, too. After one of our games, he texted me. He was like, you need to be more confident, shoot the ball, do that. And so, you know, early in the game, like, I missed 3 shots in 1 possession. It wasn't really, like, stuff wasn't falling for us. We didn't shoot well as a team, but it ended up going in when it mattered. A bunch of guys, great performances. So, I mean, team win. That's pretty much all I'm chalking it up to.
Yeah, certainly. And you're from Maryland, which is a lacrosse hotbed. Yeah. So were you basically born with a lacrosse stick, or how did you start playing?
Yeah, I think when I was like 4, I went to these little clinics ran by a club called Next Level. And the sticks I had, they were, like, made of plastic and rubber and had a little, like, bar in it so the ball wouldn't fall out. And I just fell in love with it ever since I was little. I started playing, like, rec with pads in first grade, started playing club the next year. and pretty much been, yeah, pretty much had a stick in my hand my entire life. So like my dad was a rugby player. Mm. But you know, just growing up in the area, pretty fortunate. There's so many great, great places around me where I can practice. So many great people to learn from.
Yeah, certainly. And then looking at college, what made Bates the place for you to come up to Maine?
I knew that if I wanted to play D3, I wanted to go to a NESCAC. It's the premier conference in the sport, great academics. And I had a pretty interesting recruiting process. I was looking at a couple of D1 schools as a preferred walk-on. And, you know, some of those didn't work out. I tried to apply to one, didn't get in. And I texted Coach Nino, and he thankfully still had a spot for me. And I was talking to some of the other schools, but Bates showed me the most interest. And I came up, I loved campus, loved the coaches, loved what we were trying to build. And so I just, you know, I got that feeling. I knew it was the right spot.
Yeah, Coach Nino, in his third year, obviously, this has been so far a breakthrough season for this program. I mean, that is exciting, right? You know, being a first year, I mean, what kind of you see of, you know, long-term goals kind of moving forward here? Because obviously it's already begun kind of with this younger class.
Yeah, so even, you know, like when we beat Hamilton, that was Coach's first NESCAC yep. win. And, you know, we get in the locker room and he's like, all right, cool. That wasn't our goal. Our goal is to keep playing. We want to be playing in May. Appreciate it. It's a step, but, you know, our goals are still much higher than what we're doing right now. You know, everyone's really proud of what we're doing right now, obviously, but we know that it's, you know, we're a quarter away through the season. We can't come out flat like we did versus Williams. We can't overlook opponents. We know that we can compete with anyone in the country, so we just got to keep that going.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bobcats off to an undefeated start, 4-0, 2-0 in NESCAC. Your home, by the way, folks, hopefully this podcast will be posted before the game tonight. The game is 6 o'clock against Keene State, and then you're home again Saturday against Middlebury. A bunch of home games coming up. How exciting is that?
It's awesome. I mean, the away games are fun too, but it'll be really nice to be able to sit, play on the home turf, play in front of all the students here. I have my parents coming up for a couple games, so that'll be really nice. But yeah, just play on Garce is an unreal feeling.
And you mentioned that one of our broadcasters for the game, you know him, kind of, he coached you?
Yeah, so back, I don't even remember how young I was, but when I was really young, Rich McDonald was one of my coaches, and his son Mike was the goalie on our team. And so I knew him for a while, and then they moved up to New Hampshire. And last year, I was watching one of the games, and then I heard my name. And so I text my dad, and he's like, oh yeah, that's Coach McDonough. I'm like, oh, awesome. So it's really great to hear that he's announcing in tonight. I'll be sure to see him after the game.
For you personally, like, what are you working on? You mentioned, you know, maybe being more aggressive. What are some other things you're working on adjusting to collegiate lacrosse from, you know, high school?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me is that the game just moves so much faster. So my biggest goal coming in was just being able to learn how to make decisions quicker, not being as hesitant. Like, there's a lot more holding the ball in high school. Now it's you make a move and go. And also, I was a natural attackman in high school, but I got here, they moved me to midfield. So it's taken the entire year to adjust to being able to dodge from different spots, being able to have those other looks. But, you know, I mean, I love it now. I get to dodge on short six instead of poles, and the line I play with is awesome.
Yeah, tell me about the midfield group, because, I mean, 3 goals, 3 assists, you might think, oh, he's an attacker, but you're midfield, but on the offensive side, right?
Yeah. So defense, not really been my thing in this sport. I'll still try when I get stuck back there.
Yeah.
But it's me, Connor Hartman, and Denzel Evans mm-hmm. running line right now. They're both amazing, amazing players. I mean, Connor draws so much attention. It makes my job really, really easy because they're so worried about him. I can just sneak behind. And we got so many guys on offense that can all contribute, that can all dodge, all score. So it really, like, playing with other people that are better than you, it just makes a world of difference.
Well, and Connor and Denzel are some of the upperclassmen on this team. I mean, what do you kind of learn from them?
Just overall, the sport of lacrosse, it's a lot easier playing with guys that are able to see the game a little bit better than I am just because they've been around a higher level for a longer time. And so if there's any, you know, a little adjustment I need to make that I may not see, it's pretty easy for them to just step in and be like, hey, you know, do this instead.
What are your thoughts you want to share on the Williams win and, you know, what it means for the program kind of moving forward? Or are you guys already forgetting about it and moving on to Keene State here?
Yeah, it's a pretty quick turnaround here. So, again, same thing. You know, we get in the locker room, hey, great win. Quick turnaround. Get ready. Like, these guys, you know, we beat them 8-6 last year. Mm. Can't overlook anyone. They're a great team. We got to come out and play our lacrosse. That's the biggest thing.
All right. First year, Xander Frey, who had the great backflip after his game-winning goal there against Williams. Had you ever scored a game-winning goal, like an overtime type thing before?
Yeah. There was one time back in high school in junior year in the state quarterfinals, I think it was, had a buzzer beater behind the back. Was probably the biggest one I can think of. I've always tried to, you know, not let like moments factor in, just play my lacrosse at all times, and that's really helped me sort of stay level headed even when, you know, like I can't be thinking ahead of time like, hey, if the goalie saved this shot, like this is gonna happen. Like I just need to know, like, I'm gonna score this, we're gonna score here, we're gonna win.
And they did. The Bobcats are 4-0, 2-0 in NESCAC. Xander, thanks so much for joining the Bobcats.
Thank
really
you so
appreciate
much for
it.
Having me.
Last season, the women's lacrosse team got shut out by Williams, but this was not the case this year. On Saturday, the Bobcats defeated the Eves 9-7, improving to 4-1 and 2-0 in NESCAC play. This is the first time ever that both the women's and men's lacrosse teams have started conference play 2-0 in the same season. Senior captain Caroline Taggart tallied a hat trick against Williams, scoring on all three shots she took. Taggart also dished out an assist in the victory, and she leads the NESCAC in assists per game so far this season. And Caroline Taggart is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Caroline, four straight wins for the women's lacrosse team, just off to a terrific start this year. 9-7 victory over Williams there at Garcelon Field. I know that win was maybe particularly satisfying for the team. Take us through kind of the mindset going into that game and how you're able to get the victory.
Yeah, it was a super exciting win for us. Our coach kind of brought us in with the mentality, we have nothing to lose this game, everything to gain. We're kind of underdog mentality, and I think everyone really bought into that. We're learning so much, obviously, with a new coach. So much is being added in, and I think everyone kind of has that mentality of just let's go at it and see what we can do, and it's been successful so far.
You know, getting shut out last year by Williams and to win this year, what does that mean for everyone on this team?
It was such a just victorious feeling, even though it wasn't even like NESCACs or anything. It was just a standard NESCAC game, but it was so exciting. I think last year everyone kind of had a chip on their shoulder coming off of that. You know, not being able to put a ball in the back of the net for a whole game is really frustrating, and then coming at it, we got that first goal, and it was just like, we can do this. It's such a sigh of relief, and everything was so dynamic on offense, and then defense, obviously some huge stops for us time and time again. I think low scoring game, so it was really tiring, but everyone really bought into it, and it was so nice to get that win.
And for you on the attack, you've been super efficient this year. I mean, this past week you played a couple games and you had 5 shots and they were all goals. Take us through kind of how you've been able to pick your spots and convert like that.
Both Coach P and Coach Abby are really big on, they scout our goalies for us and they tell us where we need to shoot. We do a lot of practicing on the turf, where we need to shoot, fake low, shoot high was a really big thing for Williams, but then how we can be most effective with our shots, but also getting our shot number up. So if you don't think you have a good shot or you're not feeling like what you'd like to do is there, how can you help someone else get a better shot? So I think that's something we've all really been working on, is just how can we, if it's not me taking the shots, how can I make sure that my team is getting the right amount of shots? And that's been super helpful. We're more efficient, and I think going off of that, the game clock, we're doing a much better job with managing that. Definitely in Williams in the fourth quarter, game management was imperative. We spent some sets 80 seconds, 70 seconds just passing it around, and that's been super helpful. I think that can really be the deciding factor in close games, so both of those combined have been led to a successful offense thus far.
You mentioned Coach P a few times. Princess Zabel, our new head coach, who started maybe a week before the season. But it seems like the team's really bought into everything she's brought to the table. What makes her such an effective coach here?
Yeah, I think Coach P, she's off to a great start, and we really love her so far. She's definitely, I think there's a new kind of demanding excellence mentality that she's brought to this team. Everyone wants to work hard every practice, every game, and I think we want to really buy into what she's giving us, and it's working so far, which I think is giving everyone a real sense of hope and excitement. Definitely, we're working a lot harder in practice and in games, and I think there are a lot more in-game adjustments and practice adjustments that you can really see kind of how what we're working on is going to translate to a game, and I think she puts a lot of trust in us, and we have a lot of trust in her, and it's working really well so far, so we're really psyched.
I talked with Lacey Ravis about this, but the win over Catholic, I think, was real big for the whole program, right? Take us through how that kind of built to what we've now seen, a 4-game winning streak.
Yeah, I think definitely in Catholic, there was so much composure. I think that started with Coach P. Just there was never any sense of franticness, even going into OT, and I think that really helped settle our team. We can tend to be frantic, but she was just saying, you know, you guys got this, relax, just go into it how you play everything else, and it worked great. I think that sense of composure, we're doing a much better job on offense, and I'm sure on defense too, but it's starting with our coach, and it's leading to that, you know, we stay composed until we end, and then we're psyched for the next one.
You're one of the senior captains. Tell us about that leadership role and how gratifying it is to see the early success here.
Yeah, definitely. Our team this year, I think we have a really unique culture this year. It's something different than I've seen the past 4 years. We all really spend a lot of time with each other off the field, and I think that started in the fall. A lot of activities as a team. Fall practice was really nice, and then doing some kind of bonding activities really has led to us being a lot closer, spending more time together in commons, shooting outside of practice, all sort of things like that, that you just get to know each other better. I think on offense, anyways, we're a really young team. I'm the only senior on offense. We have a couple juniors, but I think that's definitely been important in kind of bringing all the upperclassmen, making sure we're all showing the underclassmen, you know, what it means to play lacrosse on this team, and I think that's definitely helping with our chemistry, and we're connecting with each other in such a different way this year. I think we have so many more assisted goals that really speaks to that connection. We see each other, our heads are up, and I mean, we're all really happy for each other. Our celebrations on the field are so much better, and I think on defense too. I know we only have 4 seniors, so my 3 other fellow seniors are defenders, and they all really are doing a great job leading those defenders, teaching them things, showing them everything, and I mean, it's really translating on the field. Start a phenomenal start to the season, so many stops. So, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned the assists. I mean, you yourself, you're leading the NESCAC right now in assists per game. And so what are you seeing out there setting up your teammates also?
Yeah, so I play crease attack with Lacey and Lucy primarily, Lacey Ravis and Lucy Taylor. And I think we have such a unique way of working together. We see each other so well, and we know each other's tendencies a lot better than we have in past years. Playing with them last year definitely helped kind of figure that dynamic out. And then this year, I think we've really been able to connect. We have things that we have down now, which is nice, and we know when I see Lacey's head up, I know what she's going to go do. Is she going to drive? Is she going to look for the feed? So I think that's been really special. We're connecting so well down there, and it's really fun. It makes gameplay so fun.
The Bobcats are home this Wednesday at 6 o'clock against the University of New England, so make sure everyone comes to Garcelon Field to support the Bobcats in that game. But the one I wanted to ask you about was this Saturday. You are at Middlebury, the number one team in the country, national champion many times over. This will be a great litmus test, right, to see where the team's at?
Yes, definitely. That is always a tough game. I think kind of that mentality that we've had going into some of these other games that we have not traditionally been successful in, we'll definitely take to Middlebury. Just have that chip on your shoulder and go out and do what you can, kind of. You have nothing to lose, so just, I guess, seeing what we can get done. Setting those tangible goals is a really big thing that our coaches have pressed this year, and I think we'll definitely be doing a lot of goal setting this week on just kind of what can we do against Middlebury that will be important for future games and just see what we can do. Great team, but we're a pretty good team, too.
I was going to say, yeah, as a senior now, seeing this team grow, I mean, it kind of started last year with that Kobe win, but seeing this team grow, how gratifying is that for you, you know, building from where you started to where you are now?
It's so gratifying. I think it's, especially when you don't expect it necessarily, and then you have it start happening to you, it's so fun to be a part of, and it's so fun to watch our team celebrate and be together in these wins. I think it's so special when you work so hard to pull out a win with just, you know, 2-goal victory, and I think that's so exciting, and it definitely gives me such a good feeling of hope, especially for future years for this team. I'm so happy that they'll, even if we just get 2 NESCAC wins this season, obviously I want more, but I'm so happy to see that progress, and knowing what's going to come for the rest of them will be so fun to watch them.
Well, you're already at 2 and counting, hopefully. The Bobcats off to a terrific start. Caroline Taggart, 3 goals and an assist against Williams, a clutch 9-7 victory for the Bobcats there this past weekend. And looking forward to the home game Wednesday against University of New England. And then looking forward to seeing what the Bobcats can do against Middlebury on Saturday at Middlebury. Fun fact, last time Middlebury lost in the regular season was to Bates in 2019. So, wow. Caroline Taggart, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Thank you so much.
From Garcelon Field, we move indoors to Merrill Gym as the Bates tennis teams were in action over the weekend. On the men's side, the Bobcats defeated Connecticut College 5-2 on Saturday before falling to No. 3 nationally ranked Tufts 5-2 on Sunday. However, the No. 1 doubles team of junior captain Teo Sardain and sophomore Philippe Kosiagin emerged victorious in both matches, running their winning streak to 4. Well, before we start talking about the outstanding number one doubles team here for the men's tennis program, Teo and Philippe, let's just start with your backgrounds. Kind of like, when did you start playing tennis and what eventually, you know, led you to Bates? Teo, we can start with you.
Yeah, I started playing tennis when I was really young. I did a lot of sports, soccer, some basketball, tennis too. And I didn't really start playing competitively until middle school years. And then I got really into it for a long time. During high school, I was playing tournaments almost every weekend. COVID obviously set that back a little bit. Not a lot was happening, but Coach Gastengay saw me at a recruiting event that I was playing at, and he, you know, we got along well, and he liked my game, and it ended up working out well, and I landed at Bates, so yeah.
Philippe, how about for you?
I kind of had a similar start, too. I played a lot of sports growing up, and eventually, yeah, it came toward, I think, around sophomore year of high school when I had a conversation with my parents and my coach, and I realized that I could play college tennis, and then I kind of emailed a lot of people, including Coach Gastengay, and then I eventually met him at a recruiting event, and then, yeah, we kind of hit it off from there.
Great. Teo, you were second team All-NESCAC last year in doubles with Alexander Gujaraji, who has since graduated, and so you and Philippe are kind of a new doubles team this year. You started off playing together in the fall, yeah. I saw in those tournaments, and now you've won four straight here in the spring. What's been clicking so well between you two?
Honestly, I think the best part about our games is our serve and power, and just that's really the main aspect that I think makes a great team in doubles. You know, it's all about taking over the net and really just having that initiative to end points early and, yeah, just be offensive and aggressive, and I think we do that really well. Guj and I had a good year last year, but Philippe and I get along great. Everybody does on the team, so, you know, we love playing doubles, and yeah, we have a strong team for it.
And Philippe, you're a sophomore now, right?
Yeah.
So what's it like playing with Teo this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that it definitely helps that we have, like, a good team chemistry. Obviously, like, you know, we have some skills on the court that can help us out. But I think we've been friends for a while now, and that definitely helps with our game.
And then let's talk about the Tufts match, because you guys were playing a pretty strong duo. Now, it's not the duo that won ITA regionals, but one of them did.
Yeah.
And the other one is a very strong player as well, and I think he was shining in singles. But, I mean, so a formidable opponent, certainly. Take us through that match, and what was the key to victory, in your opinion?
Yeah, those guys, I mean, every time we play Tufts, like, you know, we know it's going to be a tough battle. Pretty much everybody who we played on Sunday was part of that squad that made the national championship a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're some of the best players in the country. But, you know, Coach Gastengay always tells us that it really starts with belief, and it's just like any other sport, too. You got to believe you're going to win when you go into that match. To even give yourself a chance, that's half the battle. So, you know, Philippe and I just went into it having no regrets and went out swinging, and you know, our team likes to call it flying around the court and just moving with, you know, lots of passion and aggression. So, you know, it ended up working out in our favor, and yeah, it was a lot about that, you know, belief and passion.
Philippe, any memorable points that stand out in particular from that one?
I'll tell you, in the tiebreak, there was one point, I think, when Teo hit a return, and I think it might have been going out, but then the guy was serving took it as an overhead, and I kind of like knocked it off into the, yeah, like past him, and so that kind of won us the point to give us the like serving advantage in the tiebreak, which is kind of exciting. So yeah, then we were serving for the match and it went well from there.
Double scoring is different this year than the past. Take us through kind of how it works, because it used to be, I think, to 8, right now it's to 6.
Yeah, so we last year we played 8 game pro sets. Yeah, so they were longer sets. Now we played a 6, and then also another change that's happened from last year is that each doubles match counted as 1 point for the total team score, but now you have to win best of 3 of those doubles matches to get 1 point. So obviously there's a little bit less emphasis on doubles because it counts as 1 out of 7 instead of 3 out of 9, I guess. But, you know, we work a lot on doubles, and I think that's one of the strengths of our team. And getting that doubles point, even though it is only 1 point and the shorter sets, it really does help the team carry momentum into doubles. And yeah, it makes a big difference.
Now, this 4-match winning streak, I mean, it all started with a victory of a D2 team down in Florida, right? Eckerd College. Take us through that match, Philippe, if you recall, down there in Florida.
Yeah, that was actually our last match of the 4 we played in Florida.
Yeah.
And we were all like pretty tired and beat up, but I mean, we gave it our all, and it was a good team. We took the win there. But I guess we're just carrying our momentum now. We have a upcoming game against Williams now, so. yeah, hopefully keep it going.
Yeah, those D2 opponents you play in Florida, how do they compare with, like, you know, NESCAC opponents, in your opinion, Tao?
I think, in general, it's a similar level. You know, I mean, across pretty much every sport, NESCAC is really the top of the top for D3, and especially in tennis. I mean, the majority of our conference is within the top 20 rankings and in tennis teams. So, you know, we're playing the best players in the country of D3, and, you know, we even have NESCAC players transferring to D1 programs pretty regularly, almost every year. So the level's really, really high, and, you know, we got to be ready to compete each week. So, I don't know, it doesn't feel like there's much of a difference where, you know, it's all the same, really. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned now this year singles maybe being slightly more important than doubles in the past. I mean, and then you have the transition from, you're playing two matches, you play doubles, and, I mean, how long is the wait before your singles match typically?
Usually it's pretty short. I mean, it depends on how fast we finish the doubles match.
Yeah.
But, I guess we have to remember that doubles and singles is kind of a different game, and we have to transition. Even though it's, like, more explosive in doubles and a little bit more, like, slow-paced, you have to kind of, you know, let things marinate in singles.
Coach always, after doubles, gives us a reminder in our huddle, like, reset your mind. It's a different mode. And not that, you know, you shouldn't be going out to win that match on the first point of your singles, but there is a little bit of a different approach to the match, and you can kind of work your way in, have some longer points. Yeah, like Philippe said, just a different game than the doubles is.
Yeah, I was going to say, this year at number one, you're playing at number one singles, Philippe. So what's that like, to know you're playing the top opponent, not only in doubles, but in singles as well?
It's pretty tough, for sure. I mean, it's a challenge that I'm willing to take on. And, you know, like Tao said, a lot of these teams are, well, actually all these teams are very strong. So, you know, you kind of go in there with, like, a nothing to lose mentality. You know, that definitely helps. Definitely helped in the match that we won this past weekend with Tao.
And then you guys are hosting Williams. You touched on this earlier. That's this Saturday at noon, likely, I think, in Merrill Gym probably again. Yeah, we'll get to Wallach eventually. But, eventually. I mean, this home court advantage at Merrill, we've talked about it with some other players. But what does it mean to you, Tao, to play on those courts? Because I do feel like it's a challenge for opponents coming in there, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, Merrill's an interesting space to play a tennis match, for sure. We're really used to it, but, you know, it's just a strange environment for other teams to come into. And like you said, it does serve as an advantage for us. You know, it takes a while to get used to the speed of these courts and just how it feels. You know, every tennis player is used to that normal hard court, but obviously it's a little bit different. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's nice to have a season like this where we're playing a lot of home matches and, you know, having, you know, friends around and people being able to really come to the matches. Last year we traveled a lot, I don't know, 6 weeks in a row or something. We were on the road. So, yeah, definitely nice to be at Merrill a lot.
Yeah, and Philippe, I was really impressed with the overall result. Obviously, you know, Tufts ended up winning 5-2, but you had the doubles victory in number one. A couple guys won at singles also, which kind of stood out to me. So, you know, what is this team feeling like right now in terms of your ability to compete in the NESCAC? Because you're at 1-1 with a close match against Tufts in the rear view, and obviously tough opponents coming up. The team must be feeling pretty good about this.
Yeah, we feel great. I think we're doing a lot better this year already from the start than we did last year. And our team is, you know, full of a lot of talented guys from, like, freshmen all the way to seniors. Actually this weekend, Tyler Oskuzi won his singles match as a freshman against a really, really tough, opponent from Tufts. So, shout out to him. So, I think we're going good with the team so far. Yeah.
And Tao, you're one of the captains here as a junior. What's it like having that leadership role?
It's something that I've been looking forward to since I was a freshman. I had really close relationships with some older guys on the team who are captains, even since I was a freshman. So it felt pretty natural for me to step into this role. And, you know, the tennis team here is something that's super important to me, and I love all these guys. So it means a lot to know that I can support them in whatever they need and also lead them to, you know, some victories that we've gotten already and hopefully a good rest of the season because we're feeling really confident.
Excellent. What are your thoughts either of you wanted to share about, you know, the matches these past few weeks, including this past weekend with the win over Connecticut College and you know, your personal number one doubles victory against Tufts we haven't got to talk about yet?
No, I mean, for Conn, the win felt good because last year, you know, we came a little short on their home courts. Definitely wasn't our best performance, but, you know, we came back with, you know, good energy this weekend. So it felt good to win our first NESCAC match on our home courts.
Anything else you wanted to mention, Tao?
No, I'd like to echo that, too. I think we've done a really good job this season of bouncing back and leaning on some younger guys, definitely like Philippe mentioned, Tylen in our lineup, also Eric too. And then, you know, just like you said, up and down the lineup, there's seniors. Ben has been doing awesome. Yeah. You know, just won that match against Tufts. So, yeah, you know, the whole lineup's feeling solid. And, you know, like Philippe said, we're bouncing back already from last season and feeling really strong.
Bobcats off to a 1-1 start in NESCAC play. They're hosting Williams this Saturday at noon at Merrill Gym. Teo and PK, thank you so much for joining us here on the Bobcast. Congrats again on a really strong start to your doubles season here.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks.
The women's tennis team had a similar weekend to the men, defeating Connecticut College, but falling to a nationally ranked Tufts team. Remarkably, their number one doubles team of sophomore Iris Westmoreland and junior Isabella Saul also won both their matches, despite having never played together before. Well, Iris and Bella, what a weekend for you, the number one doubles team here for the Bates Women's Tennis Program. Obviously, Tufts always a tough opponent, nationally ranked, 7-5 win in doubles. Iris, just take us through that match from your perspective, from the doubles perspective, what really worked?
Well, I think Coach Sharma has done a really good job teaching us new doubles formations and being the first to poach, the first to cross at the net, the first to run formation. So I think that was really crucial for us in winning that match.
Bella, what do you see out there?
100% agree. I think that we were always the first ones to serve in volley, the first ones to cross, the first ones to run formations. I don't know if the Tufts team even ran a formation once. So I think we really like got out of it super aggressive, and they weren't really expecting that. And obviously on home courts, it makes it even better.
So Iris, for someone who's not familiar with tennis as much, could you break down what a formation is in doubles?
Right. So there's a few different formations that we've been working on. One that's personally my favorite is serving and volleying. So obviously self-explanatory, yep. I serve and like immediately come to the net. And I think me and Bella do our best when we're both finishing the points at the net. So I think that was the best formation that we ran. And then another formation is called I formation. And it's when, so typically the server is on one side and the volleyer is on the opposite side of the court. But when you run I formation, the person at the net is in the middle of the court. And then whenever the server hits the serve, you immediately switch to a side and the opponents don't know which side you're going to. So the goal is like to, for the volleyer to try and get the return and catch the opponent off guard because they don't know which side you're heading to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, one thing I'd be nervous about if I was not the one serving, I mean, your back is kind of to the server. Yeah. I mean, you all serve pretty good power. I mean, how do you deal with like trying to make sure the ball doesn't hit you?
There have been mistakes in the back.
It's happened before. I've definitely gotten hit before. Not from Iris.
Oh, okay.
But typically you try to crouch down as low as you can. But
you're normally kneeling like below the net. So, and you're at the middle, like in I formation, you're standing in the middle of the court.
Yeah.
So normally a serve doesn't go there, but occasionally there's mishaps. But hopefully not. Not yet for us, too, at least.
Actually, yeah, you've won three out of your last four matches, including one in Florida, right, against a doubles opponent from a Division II program. So what was that trip like, Bella, in terms of, you know, competing against that level of competition?
Oh, yeah, it's always super fun, especially this year. We were able to play a lot of our matches at the USTA National Tennis Center, which is super awesome. It's just amazing. We all kind of take it as a bonding trip, but it's also so tennis heavy, especially this year, which Coach Sharma and we did two-a-day practices, lots of set play, lots of double set play in preparation for the season, and kind of just working out the kinks, trying to figure out which doubles pairings were going to work, figuring out like which types of players we were going to become for the season. So it's really, really cool. We really love the Florida trip. It's like one of my favorite parts of the tennis season.
Yeah, well, we had Iris on earlier. She mentioned that Coach Sharma has really emphasized conditioning and everything. What's some things you've noticed about, you know, him being the new coach now?
Yeah, I mean, I was abroad last semester, so I came back to Iris had already done a whole season with Coach Sharma, which is kind of funny to think about.
Yeah.
But I think that we're all super fit. We're all, like, in the best conditions that we've ever been in physically. And I think that, I mean, I just played two super long singles matches. Even our doubles match, I was looking at it, and it was nearly an hour, which is kind of crazy just for one set.
Right.
And I don't think we've ever really had times where we've felt super tired. I'm sure after the matches, we all kind of feel a little bit dead sometimes. But during the match, when we're all super engaged and super locked in, I don't think that we are ever like feeling like we're really exerting ourselves, which is partially mental, but it's also because of all the conditioning that we've been doing in the investment season.
Did you two play together last year at all?
No.
No, it's actually a funny story. Yeah. So Coach Sharma has done a really amazing job like switching up the doubles pairings, trying to figure out who works the best together. So the day before our our weekend, last weekend, he switched it up. I normally was playing with Liv, but he put me and Bella together.
Okay.
So we kind of went into the weekend just saying, like, we're just going to do the best we can. We've never played together before. Like, we're just going to try it out. But it ended up being an amazing pairing, clearly. We had awesome results.
Oh, yeah. I misread the results. Yeah. So, Bella, you were playing with Elise in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Up until last weekend. Actually, me and Iris, it's really fun because last year Iris played with one of our captains, Allie Friedman.
Yes.
I'm at one. And me and Iris never had the opportunity to play with each other.
I don't think we ever have ever
until
once
Thursday.
Until Thursday, okay.
Yeah, it hasn't even been a full
Not
week.
Not even a week
but
ago.
Obviously, we're having a great time and we've had some really good results.
But it honestly instantly clicked. Like from practice, like we were like reading each other's minds on what to do. And I think that's such a crucial component when it comes to doubles, like the chemistry between each other. Like you can have two really good singles players, but that doesn't really make a perfect doubles pairing. So I think like our styles of gameplay really suit each other.
Yeah.
So a last minute change basically. And were you surprised of how well it clicked?
Yes, super surprised. My parents were in town for last weekend and they came to the practice and they were like, wow, we would have never guessed that you guys have never played together.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Honestly, like I've always admired Iris's doubles game. She came in with like a very complete doubles game last year, which is, I mean, in juniors, we don't really play a lot of doubles in high school or when we're coming up in tennis. It's mostly singles focus. So coming to college, it's usually a big transition to start playing doubles, and these matches count so much. Like they're such crucial matches to win. So I really admire like how great Iris is at doubles, and I have had so much fun already playing with her. And it instantly, I think we both have a lot of like, we play very aggressive and we love to like finish at the net. So when it comes to that, it really clicked, especially in the Tufts match. Like that was really awesome.
So Iris, where'd that come from, that ability in doubles?
Honestly, in juniors, my dad, he's going to be so excited that he's mentioned in this podcast, but he really emphasized the importance of like finishing points at the net and volleying in general, because I think that's a big thing that girls tennis lacks. Like it's a lot of rallying from the baseline and just grinding out points at the back. But I think girls aren't used to seeing opponents like finishing inside the baseline. So I think just focusing on aggressive play. In general,
to correct the record, you're 2-0 as a team.
Yes.
Yeah, you're undefeated.
undefeated.
2-0. Do you think he'll continue to mix up the doubles, or do you think this is gonna stick?
I don't think he's ever going to change it after.
Yeah, that was a pretty good win.
Yeah. I think we're set in stone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you two had obviously played Tufts before. Was this your first individual type victory against an opponent from there?
Yes.
And what does that mean to, like, you know they're obviously nationally ranked. What does that mean to, you know, for your confidence kind of going forward?
I'll say that last year I thought that doubles was really difficult for me. And with Coach Sharma and like what Iris was saying with all the formations and the aggression finishing at the net, I feel like I've kind of transformed into like a new type of doubles player. And for us to, I mean, me and Iris had a conversation before the match being like, let's just go out. There are courts. Like, they're not going to know what to expect. And we can do this. Let's just take it point by point, basically. And that's exactly what we did. And like the confidence continued to grow throughout the match, especially given that we had only started playing together the day before. It just felt like every point that we won felt like more confidence. And it snowballed in the best way possible. And it led to us like winning the match, which was amazing.
Were there any points, individual points that stood out to you that you kind of remember from that match?
Honestly, like, I think the first two games, we just started out so strong. 100%. I think it honestly really surprised them because, like I was saying, I think we were just the first to finish points at the net, run formations, and I think they were really caught off guard.
Yeah, and I would second that. And I think just the energy that we were bringing was, they couldn't match it at all. We went into the match, like, swinging. We were the first ones to cross. We were the first ones to run a formation, first ones to serve in volley. And they just had no idea what to expect. And we were yelling, let's go. We were super hype. And it was really, really fun. And they honestly couldn't match that energy the entire time. So
awesome. You're at home again this weekend. Got Smith at 4:00 on Friday. And then Williams, 10 a.m. on Sunday. Williams, another tough NESCAC opponent. But what are your thoughts on these two matches coming up?
I think we're going in with a lot of confidence. I think we're just going to go in doing the same thing, going out with a lot of energy, be the first to run the formations, being aggressive. And I think it's just really important to start out so aggressive like we did in the past two matches because we only have a set. There's not really much time to come back. Like in singles, you can afford to start out kind of slower. But in doubles, I think the confidence that we have right now has really come from the preparation that Coach Sharma has given us. So I'm really excited and looking forward to it.
And Bella, it's only to 6 now. It used to be to 8. How does that change things, if at all?
Honestly, it just makes it a little bit more of a sprint. Like what Iris was saying, you kind of just have to get off super strong, like start super strong, finish super strong. It makes it more fun sometimes too. Like it's just, you have to stay super focused on every single point. And it makes it even more important to be running the plays like we've been doing, and to be super aggressive coming out of the
How do you decide on what play you're going to run? What formation?
So I typically start out with serving and volleying.
Don't tell them.
In general.
Just kidding.
Do you want to tell them where too?
But we normally run like a couple to start with and see how they responded to that. And then whichever one they're struggling with the most, we'll kind of hone in on that specific formation.
But
I was just kidding. Yeah, I don't start out with serving.
She doesn't serve a volley.
Do the opposite.
She hates it.
You never know what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, but we, in all seriousness, we do like to serve a volley a lot. We like to do We like to do Aussie every once in a while, too. Yeah, we kind of do all of the options. So sometimes it's difficult to decide what to do, but I find that we usually read each other's minds. Like,
yeah, we really have had a good connection playing doubles so far, which is just so important.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on this past weekend for the women's tennis team? Obviously, you know, off to a 1-1 start here in NESCAC.
I thought just watching everyone, you can really just tell our fitness levels are so much better, like Bella was saying. Like, we had a lot of long matches and tiebreakers, but I didn't see anyone winded or, like, physically impaired at all. So I'm really excited for this upcoming weekend and to play more teams in our conference.
Yeah, I think we have a really, really strong team this year, super deep. I think that when it comes to the lineup, like, it really doesn't matter where anyone is put. We're all very similar in level. And I think that we're just bringing a lot of energy to the court, and certain teams, like, can't always match that. And I think if we continue bringing that, like, we will continue down this trajectory, which has been a really good trajectory so far.
Friday, 4:00 against Smith, and then Sunday, 10 a.m. against Williams, both at Merrill Gym. Iris Westmoreland and Bella Saul, thank you so much for joining us on Bobcast. Congrats again on a great start to your doubles pairing here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The softball team heads to the Sunshine State of Florida this Sunday for the start of their season, as the Bobcats will play 10 games over the course of 6 days. Head coach Kat McKay previews 2025 Bobcats. Well, Kat, it's here, softball season, Sunday, Florida, first two games of the year. I mean, how excited is the team for this trip down to Florida? A bunch of games, obviously, within the span of a week or so. And what are you looking to see out of this squad, you know, early on?
Well, first of all, the team is absolutely pumped to get out of Maine, mainly so that we can get on dirt. It's been a blessing, honestly, to have all this turf that we have around campus, and we've been able to get outside, which is very uncommon for us. But yeah, the team is pumped to get out of Maine and start the season. Most teams usually have a game before they go to Florida, but with us, we just can't do it. So that first game is going to be full of excitement, I think some nerves. And for Coach Alley and Coach Green and I think it's going to be seeing all the work that we've put in with these athletes like coming together. So we're really excited about it.
And for the second straight year, I think there's only one senior, so it's a young team, right?
It is, yes. We have 4 first years, which we're really excited about. 3 of them joined the pitching staff. Mm. One is going to be like a utility for us. And then, just that one senior. Everybody else is in between.
Well, tell us about her, Grace Householder, right?
Grace is, we call her Hose Helter, mainly because she has a hose. When she's in the outfield, if she's in right field, she can make that throw to the plate, no problem. We're really excited about having her for her senior year. She's hitting really well right now at practice, and I'm really hoping that carries into this season.
And then your top returning hitter kind of almost came out of nowhere last year, Emma Yen. She started the season, you know, in her kind of the role she had in her first year, kind of a defensive player, you run the base pass. But then all of a sudden, middle of the season, she starts tearing the cover off the ball and it doesn't stop. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, Emma is one that she likes to perfect her craft. And she knew what she wanted to do that last year, and she wanted to put the ball in play, and she was in doing extra hitting, anything she possibly could, and she really learned how to slap, power hit, and use her speed. And I think that's one thing that, like, she's not just a bunter. She can hit the ball. So it was exciting to see what she did last year.
I think she had, 2 inside-the-park home runs?
Yes.
And softball fields aren't very big, so that's pretty hard to do.
Yes. She just happened to hit it in the right place, right time, and the outfielder did not have a chance against Emma's speed. It was amazing.
And so do you see her as, leadoff hitter again this year, kind of?
I think, honestly, she likes the 9-hole.
Oh.
She does. Okay. But, and I think it's just because, a little bit more, you can settle into the game. However, I like her in that first hole. So, we'll probably be leading her off this year.
Absolutely. Well, Delaney Rankin also is back, a pitcher for you who has really shown, some pretty good stuff through the first 2 years. What have you seen from her? What's her next step?
We're going to look to her as kind of our veteran ace. She got us out of some really big binds last year. And she and Belle honestly had to carry pretty much our pitching staff last year, which was difficult because when you're in 36 games in deep, your body starts to wear down. So Delaney is really going to be kind of that leader for our pitching staff, where especially we have Belle, but then we have 3 young first years mm-hmm. that need to learn and kind of get into that college mindset. So Delaney's been a big part of that.
Yeah, what do you hope the first years learn from seeing what she's able to do?
Delaney has one of those work ethics that she looks at me and goes, Coach, if you need me, I'll go. And no matter if she's hurting, no matter if she's falling apart, she will give me 100% of whatever she has. And I'm really hoping that that's something that the first years can take away, is that they can just say, yep, Coach, you need me, I'm there.
I guess just kind of looking at some of the more returners, I'm up the middle with Anderson and Marr. What are you hoping for their kind of next steps in their development? Because Anderson in particular in center field, I know she plays catcher also, but she made some great plays last year.
Yeah, she should have been on ESPN a lot.
I know,
last year.
Right?
And that's not something we expected when we were recruiting her. Mm. We literally recruited her as a catcher. But then watching her progress and seeing what else she can do, she is a phenomenal athlete and has so much more to offer than just being a catcher. And needing to keep her in the lineup, when we have Bo as another great catcher, it's like, okay, so what can we do to keep both of these, athletes in the lineup? And that honestly worked out the best. And she was phenomenal out there last year.
What's going to be the biggest key to, for this team to take the next step? What are you looking for from, the returners and also the rookies in terms of putting together a season where, you make that NESCAC tournament and compete for a title?
I think the biggest thing last year was our base running was a struggle.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's something that I'm really hoping that we do better this year. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of one-run games, a lot of, last innings where we kind of lost it. And I feel like with the pitching staff we have this year, if we run the bases better and smarter, I think that we're going to be way more successful this season.
Just look at the roster this year. Your captains are Ella Marr, Delaney Rankin, who we talked about, and Isabel Betancourt, who I believe you call Bo.
Bo.
So tell us about these three captains and what they bring from a leadership perspective.
When I look at my team, I try to ask them, who do you want as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of things do you want in your leader? So we have those discussions, and these three names came up over and over and over again. So it's not just something that I'm looking for in a leader, but it's something that the team can look to. And these three just exemplify just hard work and communication and just dedication to the program. And that's what the team needed and is looking for. And that's why those three were named.
Do you ever draw on your interesting college experience when you talk to the team? Because I know you returned to school and played for Southern Maine while you were raising a family, right?
At 30 years old.
At 30 years old. So, like, you think this is tough. This is what I had to do. Do you ever bring that up?
Every once in a while when they tell me they don't have time for things, I think back to those moments of, like, having two kids and playing college ball and also being an athletic director at a high school during that time and working full-time and being a wife and a mom. And it was just like, I look at them sometimes, I'm like, just put your priorities straight, you know, and you'll find the time. If you want to make something work, you find time to do it.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the upcoming season you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about?
I think that we're going to be exciting to watch this year. I think we've got all the pieces. These athletes genuinely love each other. And I'm really hoping the chemistry off the field carries to the chemistry on the field, and I honestly think it will.
All right, Bobcats open the season in Florida this Sunday. You can find the complete schedule at gobatesbobcats.com. We have a bunch of road games, but we will be home eventually on April 4th against Williams.
Eventually,
after a fair amount of road games and neutral site games to start the year. Kat McKay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don't forget you can follow all the latest Bates sporting events and read all the latest news by going to gobatesbobcats.com. And we'll recap it all every week right here on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.